The Disruptor. This is the story of Champagne Louis Roederer, written by Lisa Perotti Brown for The Wine Palette. For much of Champagne's modern history, prestige has been built on consistency. The Grand de Marc sold permanence in a bottle, a recognizable house style that transcended vintage variation, climate swings, and the anxieties of agriculture. But at Champagne Louis Roederer, the conversation has shifted. Under chef de cave Jean-Baptiste Le Caillon, one of Champagne's most historically important houses has become something more provocative, a luxury brand openly embracing the instability of climate, the individuality of place, and the uncomfortable reality that consistency may no longer be the highest expression of quality. Founded in 1776, Louis Roederer is one of Champagne's aristocrats, a house with enough history, vineyard holdings, and prestige to comfortably defend the status quo. Instead, it has spent the past two decades dismantling many of Champagne's old assumptions from within. The result is one of the most compelling luxury wine stories in the world today. The modern identity of Louis Roederer is inseparable from its vineyards. Unlike many major Champagne houses that historically relied heavily on purchased fruit, Roederer controls roughly 240 hectares of vineyards, much of it in Grand Cru and Premier Cru sites across the Montagne de Reims, Vallée de la Marne, and Côte des Blancs. Estate ownership gives the house unusual leverage in an era increasingly driven by climate volatility and farming decisions. It also explains why Roederer has leaned so aggressively into biodynamic and organic farming. While much of Champagne spent decades prioritizing volume and security, Roederer moved towards soil health, lower yields, and site expression. This was strategic. As temperatures climbed and ripeness became easier to achieve, the challenge in Champagne changed fundamentally. "We spent so many years fighting for ripeness," Le Caillon explained. "The fight of today is for freshness. How can we keep that saline chalkiness?" His comment captures the tectonic shift occurring in Champagne today. The old enemy was underripeness. The new enemy is excess. Too much sugar, too much softness, too much alcohol, too little tension. Houses built on acid-driven longevity suddenly face warmer growing seasons capable of producing broad, tropical, low-acid wines that can feel more Californian than Champenois. Roederer's answer has been terroir. Le Caillon repeatedly returns to the language of chalk, salinity, texture, and restrained power when discussing the house style. "The Louis Roederer style is all about effortless finesse," he said. "I always compare our style to a great ballerina. Effortlessly graceful on stage, but behind this graceful movement, there is an exceptional athlete that is the terroir. Soil, density, texture, chalky dimension, saline complexity, rather than yeasty, smoky, large, lactic." That emphasis marks a subtle departure from the broader luxury champagne aesthetic that dominated much of the late 20th century, when richness, yeasty signatures, overt oak, and opulence defined the prestige cuvée scene. Today, Roederer's wines increasingly prioritize transparency over sheer impact. The irony is that this shift has occurred while the wines themselves have become riper than ever. Historically, Louis Roederer's defining prestige cuvée, Cristal, emerged from a world of scarcity and caution. Created in 1876 for Tsar Alexander II of Russia, Cristal was originally bottled in clear lead crystal glass with a flat bottom to prevent assassination plots involving hidden explosives. The mythology is irresistible, but the wine's deeper importance lies in how it evolved into one of Champagne's benchmarks. For decades, Cristal represented precision and aristocratic restraint rather than flamboyance. Even today, it often demands patience. Discussing the 2016 Cristal, Le Caillon noted the wine's understated nature compared with the more immediately expressive vintage Brut. The 2016 Cristal, on first taste, requires a lot of focus to recognize its many layers, he explained. That observation feels particularly relevant in today's luxury market, where many prestige wines are engineered for immediate impact. Cristal still resists. It remains cerebral, architectural, and unusually dependent on bottle age for full expression. And yet Roederer is hardly trapped in nostalgia. Some of the house's most interesting work is happening outside Cristal. The launch of the collection series marked one of the boldest strategic pivots among major champagne houses in recent years. Rather than simply replacing its former Brut Premier with another static non-vintage blend, Roederer effectively challenged the entire concept of what non-vintage champagne should be. Straight NVs are built on the concept of consistent taste, Le Caillon said. No matter the base wines, they taste the same. This questions one of the category's central commercial pillars, consistency. Instead, collection embraces annual variation. Each release is tied to a specific base vintage, while incorporating reserve wines and the house's reserve perpetuel system. The goal is not rigid sameness, but continuity with transparency. Collection is halfway between the non-vintage and vintage categories, Le Caillon explained. It expresses the vintage while having the support, the lightness, the complexity, and the drinkability of a non-vintage. This modern concept is increasingly necessary. Climate change has elevated the average ripeness level in Champagne. In warmer years, base wines once destined for non-vintage blends can suddenly possess enough concentration and balance to express a meaningful vintage character. Roederer recognized this earlier than most. The collection range now serves as an annual climate diary for Champagne itself. Collection 245, based on the 2020 vintage, reflects this approach vividly. Le Caillon described 2020 as a ripe and sunny year with lots of concentration, adding that the house wanted to capture that juicy ripeness with crunchy fruit and a touch of tannins. 20 years ago, Champagne was described primarily in terms of acidity and autolysis. Today, elite producers increasingly discuss tannin management, texture, and phenolic ripeness, with the seriousness once reserved for Burgundy. Roederer's current range is broad, but it remains unusually coherent stylistically. At the entry level, Collection has become one of the strongest large-production, multi-vintage champagnes on the market, balancing accessibility with genuine terroir character. The vintage Brut bottlings tend to showcase the generosity and personality of individual years more openly, while the Blanc de Blanc's bottlings emphasize chalk, citrus precision, and tensile energy from Côte de Blanc Chardonnay. The rosé wines deserve particular attention. Roederer's rosé production uses an infusion technique rather than simple blending, allowing Pinot Noir skins to macerate gently alongside Chardonnay juice. When you use the infusion process for the rosé, you get lower levels of phenolics and a more delicate impact, Le Caillon explained. The result is rosé champagne with perfume and finesse rather than aggressive structure. Then there is the Brut Nature series, developed in collaboration with designer Philippe Stark. We only make Brut Nature wines in ripe years, Le Caillon noted. At the top sits Cristal and Cristal Rosé, still among the most collectible and age-worthy wines in Champagne. Yet perhaps the most fascinating thing about Roederer today is not any individual wine. It is the house's willingness to openly acknowledge that Champagne itself is changing. For generations, Champagne marketing often revolved around timelessness. Roederer, by contrast, increasingly speaks the language of adaptation. Vintage differences are not hidden, they are amplified. Farming decisions are central rather than peripheral. Warm years are discussed honestly, including the risks they create. Le Caillon's commentary on 2015 versus 2016 illustrates this nuanced approach. The 2015s are big, somewhat austere wines that require aging to become refined, he said, contrasting them with the fresher, more balanced 2016s, which he praised for their long, salivating, saline finish. At a moment when luxury brands often flatten individuality in pursuit of scale, Louis Roederer has become more site-specific, more vintage-transparent, and more intellectually restless. It still produces glamorous wines. It still carries aristocratic cachet. But beneath the prestige lies something more interesting. A champagne house, trying to redefine what luxury means in an age of climate instability, agricultural fragility, and a smaller, increasingly sophisticated crowd of consumers.